D&D has come a long way in the past few years. And if you're looking to level up your dice as well as your gameplay, Modern Artifice has you covered. Their artisanal metal dice sets are high-end, look great, and give a satisfying weight to your dice rolls.
Check out their solid metal sets like this Critical Silver Reactor, which even glows in the dark. Or try their hollow frame dice, intricate metal woven into our favorite polyhedral shapes for a truly unique rolling experience.
If you're into something more classic, Modern Artifice has a plethora of colored and themed resin dice sets so you can find the perfect set to match your character.
Feeling adventurous? Try Modern Artifice's mystery dice sets. This grab bag will give you a full set of resin or metal dice. You never know what you'll get, but you know it will always be quality.
So get yourself to modernartifice.com today and use code GOON10 at checkout for 10% off your purchase. That's GOON10 at checkout for 10% off. Modern Artifice, your one-stop shop for magical merchandise and nerdy novelty.
Growing up from girl to werewolf.
You're about to start experiencing some changes. This is a time when a whole new set of feelings unfolds. Feelings about yourself, boys, raw meat, and your changing body. It's a time of change. One of the changes is a change in the rate of growth. You may find yourself very quickly getting taller. I'm not kidding. You'll grow up to be up to 10 feet tall overnight. Naturally, your weight will increase as well, as long as you maintain a healthy, protein-rich diet and get plenty of exercise, you should be fine. Luckily, you can take care of both of these needs at the same time by chasing your prey through the woods under the full moon. You may start discovering hair in unexpected places. Your legs, underarms, upper lip, your entire body, really. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's a completely natural part of the maturation process. And most importantly, of course, you'll gain a far greater awareness of the cycles. That is, the lunar cycles. It's all part of growing up into a mature adult werewolf. Just make sure to check your calendar so you know when to stay away from particularly delicious-looking loved ones. Many young girls will feel self-conscious about all of these changes occurring. Just remember that they are all completely normal. And if anyone feels they have the right to bully you or make you feel different, remember, you're a werewolf now. You can pounce in the night, rend their flesh with your mighty claws, and show them how different you really are.
Hey Dungeoneers, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Strahdcast. If you like what we do here, remember to follow us on YouTube or subscribe via your favorite podcast app to get notified every time we release new episodes. Thanks again, and take your listen with advantage. When last we left our heroes, after making it clear that the werewolves were not on Strahd's team anymore, Winnie turned control of the pack back over to Emil and Zuleika. They made vows of alliance to come to our hero's aid when the time comes to fight Strahd, then made their way back to the mountains. Beleaguered from the harrowing battle, our heroes made camp with the berserkers and indulged in a rare night of frivolity and celebration. Late into the night, Winnie confided in Kaz that though she wasn't exactly sure what day it was now that they were in Barovia, she thought it might be close to her birthday. Kaz seized upon the opportunity to bring Winnie on her Ka-Took, a half-orcish coming-of-age ceremony. Kaz dispensed some buzzing wisdom, and when the pair stumbled upon a boar, Winnie scored a critical hit with her slingshot to fell the beast and bring a meal back for the whole camp to enjoy. A new dawn brings new possibilities. Where will our heroes venture next? Find out now on the Strahdcast. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Shuffle off this mortal coil and transport yourselves to the far, foggy realm of Barovia.
I want to zoom out to that moment where Drogar was at the edge of the forest and sees Winnie. You slingshotted, right?
Yeah.
Slingshot this boar and it just dies. And he's, I just imagine he's like, and then he like grabs onto a branch and he's just kind of looking and he sees it all happen and he sees you with Kaz. And there's almost like this weight that just kind of leaves him and just kind of, he just kind of like, And he turns and he'll walk back to his tent. And I think Dimitri is still kind of posted up there a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And so he kind of goes over to Dimitri and he goes, do you care for a pipe?
A pipe?
If you don't have one, I have an extra. He'll reach into his kind of pocket and he pulls out this like this finely carved wooden pipe. And he'll hand that to you. And then he'll take out kind of like a white, it looks like a bone, like it's carved at a bone, but really intricately kind of chiseled out like an ivory, like an old ivory pipe. And he'll like pull out this little tin and he'll just kind of like pack one and then he'll be like, give me that. And then he'll just go and like a little bit of spark will light his. And then he does this interesting trick where he flips Dimitri's pipe on top of his. And he just goes, and he blows in, and some of the sparks go into the top of Dimitri's and lights his. And he goes, now you want to take several puffs, don't inhale, just puff into the mouth, and you'll taste a very robust and pleasant taste. It'll take some getting used to. But
he holds it delicately in his long fingers and kind of looks at it appraisingly, kind of, you know, turning it around and inspecting it from all directions. And he kind of falls quiet for a moment. His face falls into a quiet contemplation. And after a breath, he says, my uncle used to smoke a pipe.
Oh, I knew it.
Mostly because my grandfather hated it. He used to say, breathe plants. What's next? You gonna fuck a rock?
That does sound unpleasant, but I think I can understand where he's coming from.
My grandfather is an unpleasant man.
In the world where I come from, there's something called death spice, and when you smoke it, it ultimately leads to a quick and unpleasant death.
Goodness.
And I think that...
Can we get some for Strahd to suck on?
Well, if I had it here, I would give it to him promptly. But I think that perhaps your grandfather had a fear that maybe... this would have the same turnabout as, say, this death spice. But what I've learned over the years is that sometimes you just need to puff on a pipe and breathe. And I am going to do precisely that. And if you'd like to join me, you're more than welcome to.
I feel I have much to learn from you, wise master.
Dimitri, although it is true that I've forgotten more than you will ever learn... I will be long gone when you master your arts. And what I teach you in the next couple of days or weeks or months or however long I'm here, I teach you so that you may pass it on to somebody that was once like you. And he kind of gives him like a big old dragon wink. It feels like yesterday I was trying to convince you not to cast Thunderbolt at the devil by yourself. And yet, here you are, leading the entire village of Valaki to its freedom.
Do you know, this is the first time in my life since meeting all of you, Irina, reconnecting with my family. For the first time in my life, I feel like I have a future. Hopelessness, it turns you into a revenant. People need something to live for.
Hope, faith, love, virtue, vigor. Yeah, these are all qualities that you have, my boy. You know, I was once as corrupt as Strahd. I was once dark and evil.
Truly.
I knew not who I was. I was lost. And it was early in my life's journey. It seemed I was in a dark wood. It seemed like branches were stuck in my mind with thorns. They dug in, and no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't pull the thorns out. Until I was met by three dear, dear friends of mine. And they pulled me, kicking and screaming, out of that dark forest. And it is because of them that I continue to fight. And the hope that those that I influence will be as beautiful and brilliant as they were, and I see a lot of one of them in you.
Thank you, Drogar. I think you have changed the lives of people in this valley. That's real power. Strahd's gets built on lies, intimidation, and violence. These are not fertile grounds on which you can build something. What you do, what all of you do, you give people something to live for. That is a powerful thing.
The most brilliant thing about that, Dimitri, is that we've simply shown you what was in front of you the whole time. We just shone a light on it again.
The answer is always right in front of you, I suppose. It's just a trick of knowing where to look.
Brilliant, my boy. Brilliant. Well, go on. Smoke the pipe. Don't let the embers go out. Come
yes,
on
of
now.
Course.
I told you not to inhale.
No, I don't. I wasn't ready.
I'm so
And he gives him like a big...
I'll work on it.
That's all right. That's all right. Keep it in your cheeks. Watch. Like this.
And he'll take a big... You'll see like his... It's almost like his lizard cheeks like...
So it fills out and he just goes... And you see what flows out is like this thing that you've never seen before, Dimitri. It looks like a ship, but it's not a ship. It's in the clouds. It has like propellers on it.
Whoa.
And it's moving like upward, like it's, you would only compare it to a bird flying through the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's this smoke formation that he's like, making as it goes through the air.
I got you.
Well, now that will take many, many years for you to master something like that. But you get the idea. You keep it in the cheeks and then.
I'll work on it.
Yes. Very
good. And while Drogar is doing that with Dimitri, Drogar will be ritually casting something.
Oh. What?
We'll find out. Where?
You don't have to tell me what it is. Just tell me the angle.
I love that.
Grand.
Anyway.
Grand.
We did have a boar carcass to deal with.
What do you want to do with that boar carcass, Cass?
Well, so Winnie one-shotted that motherfucker.
Sure did.
Jesus.
Yeah, we cut back to the forest.
You know, when we would do Ka-Tuk in my tribe, usually the hunt would have been your first kill, but I know that that's not true.
Oof.
But there is something very important that we have to do, because this was not an enemy. This boar, this is a gift. And I really was not expecting to find a boar.
No, that's crazy.
I kind of think it's a sign.
Yeah.
I think the land is just as ready to be rid of Strahd as we all are, and gave this to us. So even if this were out in the desert, the next thing I would do, because again, this is not an enemy. Mm-hmm. This was a noble creature that just gave its life for us. We have to thank this creature.
Yeah. Okay.
Here, do as I do.
Okay.
So, Kaz will walk over and just like,
and this part's also really important, because you rode the bees just now, and it's very important to be able to do that. And it's also very important to be able to let the bees know when it's over.
Say later, bees.
Say later, bees. I'll ride you again another time.
Love it.
I'll call you back when I need you, but I'm the one in control.
Yeah, I'll let you know, bees.
I'll let you know. So this always helps me.
And so she'll go and she'll do like her sort of standard meditation where she kneels down and she has like her open palms, except this time it's not just about calming herself down. It's about like giving deference to this creature. You know, I imagine she probably has some orcish prayers that she says, but she'll say them in common, and they're all something to the effect of like,
we thank this creature for giving its life that we may eat and live.
It'll probably be something like that. It's like kind of very... short and repetitive, almost like Karg Hark, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Simple to the point.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just,
let's not waste time.
Yeah, yeah. If that's not Kaz in a nutshell, simple to the point.
I know, that's great. That's really great, yeah. And like also very honest and true. Like,
yeah,
thank you. And now we move on. You
exactly.
Know? Mm-hmm. If the purpose of giving was to carry us on.
Yep.
Let's carry on. I love that. I love that.
So yeah, she'll take a couple moments and sort of like guide Winnie, like a guided meditation almost in that.
I'm not as straightforward and to the point as Kaz is.
No, that's great too. So that's great too.
While you do this meditation, I'll heave the boar's head into my lap also while I meditate.
It is very, very like coarse fur. And in fact, like running your hand along its kind of like prickly hairs, it reminds you of this. Stop me if this is incongruous, but maybe there was like a rug that you hated in your childhood home because it was so coarse. Mm-hmm. It feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
But remembering a thing that you hated about a place you loved, it's a nice moment.
Yeah. I'll heave it up. It's got tusks.
Yeah.
By the tusks. Mm-hmm. And I'll hold it in my lap while I listen to Kaz meditate. And I'll repeat after Kaz. I'll repeat all of that. And then in the Halfling Happy Birthday song, one of the main kind of the translation of the Happy Birthday song, one of the first lines is, "Congratulations, welcome to the world. The sun is brighter for having known you." And so I'll tell the boar, like, the sun is brighter for having known you. You will feed the bodies that will fight to bring the sun back.
That's all awesome. Right. It's your kill. You can carry it back.
Wait!
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That thing is double your size. I'll carry it.
I can help. No, I can't.
When he's just underneath Kaz holding
moving,
the feet
I'm
up.
I'm doing my signature move. I move your leg.
So yeah, it's getting into the sort of smaller hours of the morning. Maybe even a hint of gray starts to arise over the mountaintops. And as you make your way back to the camp, the Berserker camp never really stops. There's people doing things all throughout the evening. Either, you know, during the daytime, it's very active. And at night, there's still a lot of camaraderie, guards at their posts. And it just never quite stops at the Berserker camp. There are very lively people.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would thrive there.
Yeah.
I never want the night to turn off.
Yeah. You know, they kind of sleep in shifts, the Berserkers do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like living in New York.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Except more out of a need to protect yourself than nobody ever shutting up.
Fair.
But yeah. So as you get back, Olaf is maybe putting a finale on these sort of funeral proceedings for the bodies. Gone past, and you see Drogar and Dimitri puffing upon their pipes.
And I think by the time that they return, because they had some time, like, you know, dragging the body back and talking and stuff, I'm going to say, like, 30 minutes has passed. And I think maybe Dimitri has kind of gone off.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Maybe it's just Drogar now kind of sitting out front, waiting for them to kind of come back up.
Yeah, so you come across Drogar, maybe like the outskirts of camp as you come across Kaz with the boar slung across your shoulders and Winnie in tow.
We brought breakfast.
You've been busy.
Winnie's a woman now.
I'm really struggling, you guys.
Listen, out in the desert, you grow up fast.
Oh, well, yes. In her culture, you are a woman now.
This has been my whole thing, you know? With Winnie.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Keep acting.
I think that probably hits Winnie just as hard as it hits you. And I think Kaz will probably take that in and just for a moment, you know, that'll sort of have her taken aback. Because I think in her tribe, it was like this. Everyone was so excited for their Katuk and like, yes, I'm a grown up now. Yes. And yeah, I think for the first time, she kind of realizes like, yeah, holy shit, growing up is a big deal and it's hard. And you know, and I think she'll sort of give you just like a little squeeze on the shoulder and just,
you know, it's just a tradition, but really growing up is up to you. I don't want to force anything on you. It's your decision. Just know that, well, let me put it this way. I trust you as much as I would trust any other grown up in my tribe.
Thanks.
I love you, little sister.
I love you.
Could I have a moment alone with Winnie?
Sure. Don't take too long, though, because I got to show her how to carve this thing.
Yeah, I want to learn that, too.
Why don't you go learn how to carve? And okay. When you're done, come on back.
Well, I'm really tired. We should go to sleep after we do that, right?
That's a good idea. All right, let's do the first step.
Where are we sleeping?
You look about the camp. A lot of people seem to be just kind of passed out wherever they passed out. It's kind of a free-for-all. You had, like, tents. I imagine there are tents set aside for you specifically.
Well, I claimed this tent at the beginning of the night.
Can I sleep in the... I'm going to go do this, and then I'll meet you at the tent.
Well, we'll just do the first step. The first part is you hang it up by the hind legs, and you... And, well, you should do this part. This is kind of important. You have to let all the blood out.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
You and I can do what we need to do in the morning.
I just want to...
We're just going to do this first part. Yes. We'll do the rest in the morning. Yes. We're just, but it's important to get
something tells me as soon as you begin, Winnie, you're going to like it.
Okay, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Listen, the point is, it's late. We're all tired.
I want you to do it, though.
The first step has to be done now, which is the bloodletting. And then the rest of it can happen when you're ready.
Okay, show me the bloodletting.
All right.
And so, yeah, Kaz will set about to, like, you know, we'll have, like, if there's not already a little structure to sort of hang it from.
There's plenty, yeah. There's plenty of racks.
Uh-huh. Then we'll hang it from the racks. Yeah.
There are already, there's a section of camp that already has, like, wolf carcasses hanging from
perfect.
It.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so, I imagine there would be. So, yeah, so we'll put the boar up right next to it, and Kaz will... find a dagger somewhere. She'll pull one off the nearest dozing berserker and hand it to Winnie. And yeah, just say,
cut from that artery to that vein. One smooth motion.
And just, she'll put like something underneath it to catch the blood. Because like, that's something you have to do. I am not, listen, meta knowledge here. I don't hunt.
No, I think you're right though.
But you have to do it.
This should come as no surprise to anyone that I do not hunt. However, I do know from like the internet or some shit that when... you do kill something, like the blood gets tainted real quick.
Tint chills. Yep.
Yeah.
So you got to get it out of the animal as soon as you can. So yeah, like this part we got to do right away.
Do we save the blood for anything? Do you use it for anything?
Probably.
Oh, hi, that's good stuff. And as you're moving over and sort of setting up this apparatus to bleed the boar, Zarya comes over in her cups. The blood's the best part. You can do so many things with it.
What, like what?
Well, it's blood. Whatever you want.
What do you do with that?
Blood sausage.
Aye.
Blood pudding.
Aye. It makes for good body paint, too.
Oh, yeah.
Blood soup! You hear from like soup.
I don't know. There's 101 uses for blood. You've just got to be inventive. But wait, where did you come across this creature? A boar?
Winnie here.
You found this creature.
That is her kill.
I admit I'm a mite surprised.
That makes sense.
But not for the reasons you might think. You, I fully believe, could annihilate any creature within this valley. What's surprising to me is that the boar itself, we haven't seen one in these lands for nigh on 10 years. A good sign, I think.
I think so too. We certainly haven't seen anything aside from wolves since we got here. I think the land is as ready to be free as the rest of us.
Aye. I reckon if the land had a boot, it'd put it up Strahd's ass.
Gold.
Well, the land doesn't, but it seems to have some faith in us, which might be just as good. Let's good. Be the boot.
Be the
nature's boot.
Oh, but aye, it has been a long day.
Oh, I'm a little...
And she falls forward and just like collapses on the ground.
One of the tents next to her falls down.
Yeah.
I think she's got the right idea. We can take care of the rest of this, the skins and the meat and everything tomorrow, but I'm feeling awfully tired myself. We've had a big day.
Yeah.
We've had a big couple of days.
Let's go to bed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Anything else for the evening? Or are we all tucking in?
I'm going to go to Drogar's tent and curl up.
Oh, in the crook of the arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go. You come to the tent and you see Drogar's kind of puffing on the embers of his pipe. And he goes,
go on. I padded some of the pelts in a corner for you. You can get all nice and snug. I'm just...
And he kind of looks behind him. And behind him, there's this little... that Winnie can't see, there's a little circular kind of ritualistic circle that he's drawn.
Okay.
With like components for this spell that he's casting. And he's like,
I'm just about done here.
What are you doing?
Well, you're going to have to get a good night's sleep so that you can experience it tomorrow.
Okay.
Kaz isn't the only one that knows how to teach somebody how to come of age. Okay. Now go on.
Well, okay, but can you tell me a bedtime story first?
What? Well, of course, yes.
I'm sorry, I know it's been a really long day, and I know I'm like a grown-up now, but...
Before you can say anything else, he just picks you up.
Yeah.
And just kind of like...
I just curl up like a baby.
Yeah, yeah,
and Drucker's kinda... like, oh, thank God.
Really, really though. And Drucker just kind of like, kind of puts you in the crook and goes,
well, once upon a time...
I close my eyes.
There was a great king of storms. A giant of a creature. 15 stories he stood. Okay. And when he walked... the world shook, and he was known as the Storm King throughout the land. And many feared him, and many seeked to usurp him. And one day, he went to a small, small village of a small people.
I come from a small village of small people.
I know, I know. And in that small village, he almost stepped, but he stopped, and he moved his foot, and he leaned down. And he had to whisper because his voice was so loud it would have knocked the houses down. And he whispered and he said, young people, what is it like to be so small? And one of the elders came out and said, great giant of the clouds, it is, I would imagine, small to you, but it is wonderful to us. We sow the fields, and we grab water, and we raise our kin, and we raise the poultry, and the cows, and the pigs, and I wish you were small so that you could join us and enjoy it. And the Storm King's heart shrunk a little bit that day, because he knew that he would never experience something so quaint, being so large and so magnificent. But the best part of the story is that he went back to his court and he told them as they fought over land and wars and chivalric duties. And he said, you know, I visited a very, very small people today and they taught me something. And no matter how big you are, how small you are, you can always find happiness in the simplest of things. And he taught his court how to sow giant crops, how to raise giant cows and giant pigs, but it just goes to show, little one, that even the smallest of people can teach the greatest of kings. Minnie?
Mm-hmm. I'm awake.
Yes. Well, let's get you to bed.
And I think Drogar will, like, gently kind of take her over to, like, the pelts and kind of put her down and like wrap the pelt over her, and he'll kind of like go out to the tent and like kind of shimmies out and just goes, good night.
I love you.
I love you too, little one. Sleep well.
And he kind of closes it. And he walks over to the little circle that he had behind him and he puts a hand on it. The circle just evaporates, like the spell is cast. And he looks up to the sky and he really looks. And he's really looking for a star.
Give me a perception check.
It's a 25.
25, you say? What are you looking for, Drogar?
Just a twinkle. Mm-hmm. Just a sign. Drogar does a lot on whims, mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but
great,
every
great,
now great. And then, he's been taught by his god, the Light, that like you always want to make sure that the North Star is still like apparent, you know, that like you're still on the right path. And I think he's always done that throughout his 528 years. He's always looking for like, yeah, that's it. Keep yeah, warmer, warmer, warmer. Right. And so I think right now he's cast the spell, and he's like, Is today going to be the day? Like, is this the right time to do this? So he's looking for the star. Anything.
That's great. You stare up at the sky. And as you do so, It's the wee hours of the morning, almost the end of night. But night never really ends in Barovia. And as you stare up at the sky looking for the sort of twinkling of anything, at first you look up and you see nothing but the obscured canopy of fog that you become accustomed to. But you keep looking, whereas in your early days here, you may have turned away in despair. And as you continue to look, slowly, the veil of fog remains, but you can make out pinpricks within it. As you stare and you stare and you stare and your eyes become more adjusted. At first, what breaks through is not a star, but a planet, brightest in the night sky. And as you focus upon it, the singular pinpoint that barely breathes through the curtain of fog, more come into view. And you realize, Drogar, they're all still there. There might be a lot in front of them, but you can't stop them from being there. And you only get whispers of them, but you can't stop them from being there.
And so I think we like zoom in and we see his eye and he's like really squinting. And then it goes and it widens and we see that planet. And then the fog goes right in front of it again. And it's like, all right, you keep testing me. Tomorrow it is. And then he'll just kind of he'll go back into the tent and he'll kind of do like the, you know, like the wraparound thing, you know, like the kind of that dogs do, you know, like wolves do. Yeah. So he'll do that kind of around Winnie and just kind of like
in her own little circle.
And then all you hear is like the little snores of Winnie and Drogar.
Yeah. Anything else for the evening?
I saw.
Yes. Tyler wanted something.
Yes.
We can also rewind in time, Tyler, if that's
a little bit.
Yeah, just
a hair.
Yeah. No. I'm all about it. That was beautiful. Oh my god, I'm crying.
That was
carry on
phenomenal. So just like as Olaf and the berserkers and anyone else who wanted to be part of that, the funeral rites.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So as that finished up, I think like Olaf and the other berserkers kind of start making their way back to camp, and he's like, "Come, lads. I think we earned ourselves a drink."
And I think you three, Kaz, Winnie, and Drogar, you would notice the berserkers in camp are very deferential to Olaf. Like, I think it is clear by everyone's behavior that Olaf carries a lot of weight, you know?
Huh.
Carry on.
So then I think the berserkers that saw the brunt, like the main of the fight before, because I feel like there was a lot of fighting that happened, and then it kind of paused for the Vukral, and then like shit kind of settled. So I think like all the berserkers that took part in the main part of the fighting kind of like have their drinks, and then like the ones
berserkers
that
have not stopped being at war for about 400 years, so. Yeah.
It's 5 o'clock everywhere.
I imagine
that like that even before the Vukral was initiated, the wolf, you know, the scouts that were on the outskirts were fucking up wolves and fighting each other.
I think that.
So the way I see it is like all those people that were fighting kind of come to the center and they have their time to drink and celebrate the victory. Mm-hmm. Whereas then like the reserves kind of then go out to the outskirts and set the perimeter. I think at one point it kind of settles and everyone starts looking towards Olaf, and drinking his hand. He kind of like, you can see everyone's waiting for him to say something. Mm-hmm. And he just goes, "To the heroes afar and the one who gave his life for us, Artemis Silverbow.
A glorious death it was, should we all be so lucky.
And to Zangzor, who saw us through the battles.
His horns thicker than armor. His hooves sharper than steel.
And to the peace that Derva will bring, and we will see one day.
May her roots grow deep, and we eat of her sweet fruit."
And with that, he drains his mug. "Rest, lads. The fight has just begun."
You better work. You better work. Yeah! Come on!
And with that, Olaf makes his exit early, and the rest of them continue.
And then they all start fucking wrestling. They're like, "Ah!"
And the thought behind Olaf leaving early, too, is he wants to set the example is he celebrates with his men, but then he's mm-hmm. the first one up on watch.
That's awesome.
Okay, right,
yeah.
That's
fucking incredible.
Awesome.
I gotta tell you guys something. The easiest thing in the world is being the leader of a tribe that already is doing everything fucking right.
You pass into that distant realm we visit when we dream. Again, you see the temple built into the peak of the mountain's spire. Strahd stands before it. He marches his way to the cavernous arched entryway of doors, huge stone slabs. He casts his arms forward, digging his clawed fingers into the very stone of the temple, rending it open. Beyond the massive doors, a causeway that runs deep into the mountain's heart. He stands for a moment, cloak fluttering in the blizzard winds, ravaging the mountainside.
You want to fight monsters?
He says to himself.
I'll show you monsters.
And you awake. You awaken to a drizzly day.
Did this feel like a flashback? Did this feel like it fit into the canon of reading L'Amore Naborovia?
Right.
Wonderful. Give me an insight check.
Come on.
Oh,
baby.
Shit.
Guidance.
Oh, let's see.
Just
insight.
Kidding.
Can I give you some type of roll, too?
I can't do guidance.
I had the same dream, but I never witnessed that book. Is that
yes.
correct?
Oh,
correct.
Shit.
Oh, fuck.
You did?
Correct.
Oh, my God. Shit.
Is that... Great. Okay. So I don't even think I have a thought like Kaz. I think I just wake up, freak the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm just like,
oh,
I shoot up like
shit.
Like drenched in sweat. Like, yeah. And I look at the sun, I'm like, fuck, I'm late for my watch. So I'm like,
oh shit.
Oh my
fuck.
God.
That's so good.
And I just like, real quick, hurry up, like, get dressed, like, get my shit on. And I'm just like, had a sorts for the day. Just like, drenched in sweat, like, fucking. Like brush my hair back and just like fucking stumble out of my tent and like get
this
to my watch.
New
like
for
fuck
you,
it.
Olaf.
Off, Tyler.
This is new
great
for you.
Yeah.
The value add that that Olaf brings to this story is just so fucking
amazing. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right, give me an inside check, Cass.
12 on the die for a 13.
It's different.
It's different. Okay. Okay.
It's not that when old. you were in the memory. You remember the strange way that voices traveled, how they kind of took time across space to reach you, and you did not experience that in this vision.
Drogar will remember, he wakes up, and his aged brain thinks through the dream, and he comes to the realization, when we were in the book, he didn't have clawed fingers. Mm-hmm. He didn't have his powers yet.
He was still human.
He has his powers now, and this is more present than it is anything.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Very good.
It feels very present to Kaz. Kaz, I think, like, Kaz starts, like, clawing at herself. She's, like, she has seen the rock that came out of Kirill's head. She's, like, searching herself. She's like, is there something on me?
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
I know you, Pasha's eye.
I think about Pasha when he wakes up thinking about Pasha. And she thinks about that and she thinks about the amber. Something about the amber.
He saw the amber in the basement of Dimitri's tower. And he, for everyone listening at home, a quick reminder. Yeah, when you went to Dimitri's tower, there was sort of the amber golems outside. And in the basement, you found these huge slabs. And Pasha was like, I remember these, but I don't remember why.
And it seemed like he didn't like them.
No, he wanted to leave.
He got pretty spooked.
Yeah.
And what you all notice is Skogr Olaf has doubled the watch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like running around, like just shouting orders. And you don't really know why. Like nothing's happening for the watch to be more tense or anything. But everything's a little more tense.
Drogar will wake up. Good. Winnie, are you awake?
Mm-hmm.
He sits up and I think like, I imagine, like, the cinematic universe of this, like, the camera's facing both of us lying down, and we both go up at the same time.
Yeah,
and it's, like,
great,
big,
great,
tall,
great,
like, small.
Great.
So, like,
small.
Focuses in at Winnie
tall
first,
and
then it pans up, and it shows Drogar, and he's like, He looks down at Winnie and he goes, are you ready to begin?
Begin what?
Precisely. And he stands up and he walks to the entrance of the tent and he puts his hand out to you.
I make sure that I get my shoes on and I put my socks and my shoes on and I put on my bag and I put on all my things and then I run up and grab your hand.
Here we go.
The busy bee is one of nature's most industrious creatures. These busy bees are hard at work creating high-quality engraved phone stands for their TTRPG night. The phone is an important part of the process, used both to doom-scroll on breaks and send funny memes to their fellow players. A family-owned business, the Busy Bees theme their phone stands on common TTRPG tropes to better blend into their natural habitats of basements and college dorms. This month's selection includes a rogue, druid, sorcerer, and fighter display, but you can be sure more will come later in the season. But what have we here? It seems this busy bee has not made a phone stand for themselves, but indeed their GM. A clever strategy, as this busy bee hopes to pull some absolute nonsense tonight, and a buttered-up GM is more likely to let it slide. It's this ingenuity that has led the busy bee to start their own business. Visit busybeecnc.com or search at busybeecreation on TikTok for more info. Busy Bee Creations, just as nature intended.
And he grabs her and we walk out into the rain, right?
It's sort of like spitting.
Pitter-patter.
It's almost kind of like...
spitting?
Yeah, it's just... it's raining in that way where you walk out and you don't really feel wet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's spitting a little bit.
Yeah, it's like mist.
So we,
yeah, it's misting.
If you look at a source of light, you see like lines moving diagonally.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a training area? Like, is there like a like posts?
There's
like a dirt
kind of
area? Yeah,
there's an arena where Kaz... when
fought
Kaz
Zarya.
Fought Zarya.
Yeah. Also,
yeah.
Where we had weapon day.
Yeah,
demonstration,
demonstration day.
At the training dummies. Yeah.
So Winnie will. So I'll pull Winnie into the training area. I'll be like, come. And then I'll kind of give a yell and I'll be like, gather around to anybody who's willing to hear. And Drogar will take off his cloak and he kind of puts his shield and his mace down and he kind of starts doing these like calisthenics. These,
I start
like,
just
stretches.
Doing your calisthenics also. Also, I am doing calisthenics.
And he finishes his stretches and you see that he stands a little bit tall and he walks and he takes a knee by you and he goes, not so long ago, I attempted to teach an individual a spell and it did not work, but I think you are ready. And that is what we are going to do today. And Drogar will take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And for flavor purposes, he puts his hands up to the sky and he casts the spell Ceremony. And he casts, this is Xanathar's Guide, page 151, Ceremony.
Everyone
Ned
turned
came
to
with
Xanathar's
fucking...
Guide, page 151.
Ned came with... Open what do you call
hymnals.
It? An essay when you...
Hymnals.
Citations.
Ned came with citations.
Ned wrote a bibliography.
Coming of age. You touch one humanoid who is a young adult. And for the next 24 hours, whenever the target makes an ability check, it can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to the ability check. A creature can benefit from this right only once. This is what I would like to do, DM.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to cast this spell in an attempt... to teach Winnie how to cast Shield of Faith. And I will, you know, I will give whatever you need me to do, whatever it is. It is a first level clerical spell. It is not in her spell list.
I will tell you something for truzies. It is in my spell list.
It is. It's big. No. It's great. It's great. It doesn't matter.
And we can do whatever you want.
No, it's perfect. Why Shield of Faith?
Yeah.
Because when I'm no longer here... she needs the ability to defend herself.
Okay.
Even if I can't offer a shield.
All right. Winnie, roll me a wisdom saving throw and add that d4.
Okay.
All right. That's only an 11 total. Wait, you said what?
Add that d4.
A wisdom what?
Wisdom saving throw.
Never mind. I'm great. Psych. That's a 19.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Drogar goes, great, and goes, huh. And a guiding bolt, fly like a light one, flies out. And I imagine when he's like, ah! It like fucking jumps out of the way.
Splat on the ground.
Right, and he's like, no, 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 stand up. Come on now, trial by fire.
I'm
Let's
learning
go.
So many things.
I know. But you're going to be great. Let's try again. And he like, it's almost like underhanding a softball. It's a guiding bolt, but it's like, it flies up and you can like, you can see the projection of its arc. You're like, you're tracing it. You're stepping out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last minute, as he throws a lobbing one, he goes, and he throws a second one. And it's going right for your chest.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Both of you roll a wisdom saving throw and add that d4.
That's a 16.
22.
Winnie, roll a d4.
4.
You can cast Shield of Faith 4 times without expending a spell.
Oh, my God.
So this guiding bolt goes out at the last minute. And Winnie, what happens? The one's coming up over your head and the other one is coming straight at you and it's much faster.
I think I am tired of learning things. Yeah. Winnie said to you early on, I don't want to learn anything right now.
Yep.
When she is really stressed out, she just gets overloaded. And in that moment, so much of Winnie's magic has come from the air and the dust. And in that moment, as you send a guiding bolt over, without even quite knowing why, she reaches down and grabs a handful of earth and throws it up into the air. And it mixes with the water. And for a second, not like an ethereal shield, but like a clay.
Yeah.
In front of her, the earth mixes with the water and it deflects for a second.
And it just
and then it crumbles and it's gone. It does not hold.
Mm-hmm.
But something about it. Something about it feels more tangible than dust.
And at that moment, Drogar sees that and he gets excited and he turns around. And are there people watching?
Yeah. Oh, the berserkers are.
Did
milling.
You see that? Did you see that? Very good, Winnie.
Was that good?
That was incredible. Very good.
Okay. Do it one more time.
All right.
One more time.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Here we go. And he throws another cutting ball at you.
Do I need to roll something in order to do it?
What do you want?
I think if I'm going to get it 4 times without expending a spell slot, I should have to roll for it 4 times.
Okay.
And maybe get hit with the guiding bolt a couple of times.
All right, fair enough. Yeah.
Give it a roll.
Okay, give me a wisdom save.
So yes!
I've done it successfully once.
Yeah.
I've rolled. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to try and do it again.
Do it again.
Let's call it that.
I take a couple of steps back.
Yep.
I look around. I like stamp my feet down in the earth a couple of times. I shake my hair back and I slick it back with rain.
Yeah. And the berserkers are like, yeah!
With a d4?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No? Yeah, because Drogar cast guidance on you.
If we're playing fast and loose.
I just want to roll for my, like, success, my
exactly.
dexterity.
Exactly, so do another wisdom saving throw.
Okay. It's a 22 again.
Okay.
Woo!
This is great. Okay, so now 2 times without expending a spell slot.
Okay. Carry on. Got it. Okay, so yeah.
So he throws it again, and it's like... Yeah. It's like in a cylinder. It's like
this
coming
time,
towards you.
I take a runner stance down on the ground. And like, again.
Yeah.
And you chuck it and I take a run at you and scrape my nails through the ground, chuck it up in front of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This hard, it almost looks like rock.
And it shatters, and still, when it shatters, like clay goes everywhere. And I have like, clay is pinging off of me. It's not perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. Okay. This, gearing up for another one. Dimitri and Irina and many of like are sort of now starting to kind of gather around.
Yeah, I think too, like Olaf was about to go to bed and then like
This is the morning now.
We were up all night though.
Oh yeah, no. Carry on.
Yeah, so
carry on.
Yeah, like so it was like the battle kind of finished up. Like
he's like
he had his drinking and like he was like, all right.
He's about to tuck in.
Yeah, you all carry on. Great, I'm going to tuck in. And then all of a sudden he hears this and he's like, what the fuck? And he already had his moment with Winnie when he was like, yeah. You wear that mask, but leave it in the mask. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out and he's like, what the fuck's going on? Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know Winnie other than that. Mm-hmm. And then he sees this and he's like, oh shit. Right. Like him and Danica and everyone's watching now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. And so all right, let's go for three.
Drogar takes off his like his kind of shawl now. So it's just like bare scales, right? And he's just like,
right, now harness the light. You know it's coming this time. And it's not a surprise.
And he takes a step back. And he focuses his energy. It's a big one.
Oh, God. Okay.
So he's like, so he's channeling like a second level, you know, second level Gandhi Bolt.
I'm
right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
I see you squaring up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to square up. And now this time I'm going to see if I can control it.
Yeah.
So as I see you squaring up, I'm going to scramble and dig up some mud.
Yes.
I'm going to dig it up in the, and I'm going to hold it in my hand and see if I can control it and hold it.
I'll Kame your Hameha.
Fire away.
And it comes a little bit faster this time.
I throw it and try and chafe it and hold it.
Wisdom saving throw, add that d4.
God.
You know, we just make
it. Fucking love this!
We just make it work with the guns. We just let what happens.
Oh, I fucking love this!
Come on, baby.
Oh my God, Winnie's growing up so fast.
I'm gonna get hit with a guiding bolt.
Oh, no!
It's a 14 this time.
That's pretty good.
14. It's you get overwhelmed with your own success, Winnie. And this time when you go to do it, you do too much, I think.
I try to control it too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not the faith. I'm trying to mold it.
Yeah. And it kind of blasts and Drogar roll damage.
I'm splattered with mud now. I get that's it. You hit me with a guiding bolt and also all the like mud that I've thrown in the air like
yeah. Just
hard
mud. Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right.
That's 4d6 if I do recall.
Roll low.
Dad.
Drogar, don't do it.
And that's roll damage. Do 2d6 because it's like a training exercise.
4d6.
All right, roll 4d6.
Can do 4d6 non-lethal?
Roll 4d6. You're not. 4d6 can't kill her, I don't think.
Olaf takes a shot at Drogar when he sees this.
Oh, you're in luck. You're in luck. 8 points of damage.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah. Roll low.
Yeah, so that one blasts her back. So still at 2 times without expending a spell slot.
Okay.
And he kind of like, and Drogar like kind of looks down like he's like, all right. He's thinking to himself, like we hear in his head, he's like,
are you being too hard on her? You've just taught her the spell. You're throwing a second. No. She must learn. When you're gone, there's no certainty. She must learn the spell.
Right. Winnie.
Yes.
Are you all right?
I'm great.
You have a little...
I know!
You have a little something that...
I smeared all over my face.
All right.
Smudge my hair back.
And I kind of make eye contact with Irina.
For a moment, she kind of squelches up her face like, is this really necessary?
In the biz, we like to say, she balled her face up.
She balled her face up. And she looks over at Winnie, gearing up again, splattered in mud, determination.
Shoulders hunched, like... Mm-hmm. Head down, like.
She looks back at Drogar. She shakes her head.
One more!
And Winnie throws her head back and lets rain wash all the mud off of her face for a second.
Yeah,
great.
And stands there for a second. She thinks about riding the bees. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. You know, she's not trying to do damage, she's trying to prevent damage, but she's trying to harness the power. And she lets it wash over her for a second.
I think when you got hit, the time you got hit, Kaz like tiredly walked out of the tent, holding the berserker equivalent of a cup of coffee, going,
"Weren't riding the bees."
Weren't riding the bees.
What a schmuck! walks off against another cup of coffee.
Send that last one.
Winnie starts to hear violin music in her head.
Yeah,
fuck yeah!
And Drogar just says under his breath, "Believe," and he shoots it out.
19.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
How's it happen, Wayne?
So okay. He just goes, And he shoots this guiding bolt that you've seen many a time before destroy undead and all sorts of fiends and demons, and it just comes beelining right for you.
At the very last minute, I lean my head back from the rain, and with the rain dripping down my face, suddenly, right in front of me, the rain clears.
Yeah!
And I throw both arms out in front of me, and a wall of mud.
Yes! Yes!
And it smashes the mud, and mud, it goes flying, but it is this time like Winnie height from the earth.
Yeah.
As the guiding bolt smashes into it.
Three times.
Okay.
Without a spell slot.
Okay.
And Trugger just turns around and goes, ha ha! Yes! And Drogo will kind of like mosey on over to you. Kind of like take a knee and like put his arms out like.
Yeah! I reach a stern hand out to you first.
He puts a finger in.
I shake your big fingers.
Yeah!
Oh my God.
And then I jump in and I give you a hug.
Yeah! Oh, and Drogo just like swings her around in the rain and is like, oh, I'm so proud of you, little one. I knew you could do it. I knew you had it in you. I've known you had it in you all along. You are incredible. Right, let's get you out of the rain. Let's get you into something warm, and let's get you some of that boar for breakfast. Come on now.
I go skittering up. I'm beaming.
Go to Irina. Go tell her about everything.
I'm beaming. And I scurry up on your shoulder, though, and I sit on your shoulder, and I hug your big head.
Oh.
And then I just want to walk out of the arena with you.
Yes. Well, I suppose that's all right, too. Yes. All right.
I think a small percentage of the significance of this moment is a little bit lost on Kaz, because she's like,
she's not going to eat it unless she's cut it up. She's got to cut it up.
Put me down.
Right. I'll take us there.
Okay, take me too, Kaz. I have to cut things up.
Kaz, get the knives.
We can't have breakfast until I learn this also.
Me and Winnie will, and I think Drogar will like, you know, it's Jesus. Like kind of rough scale. So like Drogar will like take his cloak and kind of like his cape and like kind of throw it over Winnie to guide her from the, to protect her from like the rainfall. It's a little heavier now. And he'll be like, Olaf!
Yeah, and you'll see him like in the crowd, like tiredly, yeah. Like making his way over to you.
Olaf, we're going to need a rather large knife. We have some cutting to do on a boar.
I think it's a sharp knife you're looking for, Master Drogar, not a large one.
I couldn't have said it better myself. You're correct. Yes. I am looking for a small and sharp knife.
Yeah, we got them around. I'll have the lads chop it up if you want.
I gotta do it. I'm gonna do it.
I have the lads work with Winnie and chop it up if you want.
I got it.
I'll have the lads give Kaz the knife to help Winnie chop it up if you want.
Perfect. Yes. Thanks, Olaf. Yes, I think that's exactly what we were looking for. Yes, thank you. Olaf! You may retire now. Go to bed, soldier.
As we get to the edge of the arena, and we're having this conversation, Winnie's starting to shiver in the rain a little bit. And I take the cloak that you've wrapped around me, and I say, I gotta go. And I down your arm, and you see Winnie in your cloak run off into the distance in the rain towards Kaz.
It's like dragging in the mud.
Tiny lady, big cloak towards Kaz to go and do the make the breakfast.
Oh my God. I can barely handle this session.
And Drogar just kind of stands there next to Olaf, and he just kind of puts a hand on Olaf, and he goes, she's going to be okay.
Aye. And we'll make it so.
Well, I'll be in my tent. And Drogar just kind of like moseyons back to his tent.
Congrats, Winnie.
You all are making all of my dreams come true.
It's like, it really is like,
All right, you want to help her come of age? Get in line.
Yeah.
I think I've done at least two of my 12 fun things.
Mm-hmm. Kaz will show you, like, okay, these are all the cuts. Like, this is where, you know, this, like, first we skin it. This is the meat that we're going to cook. This is the skin that we're going to, like, tan and make into clothing and whatever.
What does this part do?
That's, well, and I can only imagine you're pointing to the tusks when you say that.
Well, that's kind of up to you, but I was thinking maybe the tusks would make a nice addition to that skull mask you have. I think that mask unlocks a lot of power in you. And like I said, in the woods, it's really important for you to have something outside yourself to put your anger into. And that mask is the thing. So, if you're up for it, I think we can really make that mask yours.
Yeah, okay.
I think that mask could use either some tusks or some horns or something.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. Maybe I can have my own tally-ho tusks.
I think that's a great choice.
Yeah, you can. Hell yeah.
Like that was one of 25 times I'm going to say, what does this do?
25 times a day without expending a spell slot. Yes. You can ask what you have to do
But yeah, so like we take the skin, like the skin we give to like someone, a berserker who can tan it and like make a cloak for you. And like all of the meat we give to someone who's going to like make the food. And like
we're eating bacon for breakfast today.
Yeah, then we finally get down to just like the skull. And I have this skull in my hands after we've like rended all of the fat and viscera and ligaments and tendons off of it. And I'm sure we can find a way to just separate the tusks from the jaw and figure out a way to just make them into little Winnie skull mask tusks.
Zarya could probably assist with that also.
I'm sure she can.
Yeah, attaching the tusks to the mask. Yeah, where do you want them, Winnie? Do you where do you want them? Like tally-ho tusks?
I think like tally-ho tusks.
Off the mouth?
Yeah.
Okay.
That seems so right.
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable.
Tusks are pretty great.
Yeah, so you come away with this skull mask that has the boar tusks coming off the, like, mouth section.
Wow.
Hold it together, Trevor.
Y'all are going to kill me.
That's the plan.
So good. We arrive, come the morn, Kaz expertly detailing to Winnie how to properly prepare a boar. And you do so, roast it over a spit, even with the sort of spitting rain coming down, the heat from the fire, roasting and caramelizing the skin of this animal who has given itself to your great effort. Zarya said it before, but many of the berserkers gather around and are sort of awestruck. And you can feel it. It's palpable in the air. The fact that there's a boar on the spit, there probably hasn't been one in centuries.
Wow.
Centuries have gone by. Generations have gone by without seeing what they're looking at now. I think you two are kind of going about this, Kaz. You kind of are going through this process teaching Winnie, and you almost don't even realize. Like, I think at a certain moment, maybe you look up and you see the throng of berserkers around you. And this is notable for them also because you are Kavan. You know? But it is a sign. And I mean, you said it yourself. It's a good sign that the land is ready.
Yeah.
To be done with Strahd.
I think Kaz wants to make that explicitly clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like she, like you said, she's getting really into like the preparation and teaching Winnie and showing her, like, because ultimately she embarked on this to show Winnie how to be an adult, how to like find your own food, how to kill something respectfully, and how to like live off the land. That those are all things that are super important to Kaz and things that were like raised into her. And she's really focused on that. And then she realizes, like, this is rare. This is when we arrived here, we saw measly carrots and wolf meat stew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now here we have a boar that we're preparing for her tribe.
A kingly feast.
Yeah. And like I think she takes note of all the eyes on the process and says,
this land can be fertile and fruitful, and it hasn't been for far too long. I went out into the forest last night with Winnie, and the land showed us,
as Winnie just casually waves.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, it's me from before.
As the land showed us that it is ready to be that once again. And it gave to us this boar, this beautiful, noble creature that gave to us its life as if to say, set me free.
And at that, Olaf, like, aah! And all the berserkers, beer and wine spilling all over the place.
It's 5 o'clock here. This creature, this wealth, was Winnie's kill.
For
And Drogar under his breath at the very back just goes,
Gargok. Gargok.
Gargok. Gargok. Gargok. Gargok. Gargok. Gargok. Gargok. Gargok. Gargok. Gargok. Gargok.
Much like me right now, like, Kaz is like, she doesn't really know how to take that. Because first of all, you're taking it way out of context. But like, just the sentiment of it is really special and really cool. And she'll just like, I feel, much like I just did just now, like, she doesn't really like, she kind of just watches in awe. She doesn't really like really participate in the chant, but she just kind of watches.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's for you, Kavan.
Winnie just beams up at her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then maybe I think we move into like, you know, it's like
everybody's online.
Everyone carves the roast beast, right? Yeah. And we pass it around, and I think like everybody gets a little bit.
Yeah, I think Kaz will assume the role of doing that. She'll be like the one who sort of doles it out. But she'll make. I think she wants to make sure that Winnie gets it first.
You see a cut of Drogar and two of the berserkers going,
right, all right, this back end is done. I need you to break off that bone. I'm going to make a nice stew. Go ahead, break it off.
And you see two berserkers, and they're like, one,
oh,
two,
my God, he's going to make a great stock.
Yeah. Yes. So, and you have, like, bones. This back end, like the back, you know, like the hip bone and all that, and he's like, right, all right, I need a big steel basin. Go on, now, go get
so
right,
great.
Right.
This is like bred knowledge.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
This is in your DNA.
Yeah,
DNA. And Kaz, I think, sees that and trusts it and knows that they will, because it is so deeply ingrained within her.
Yeah, and I think, Kaz, you were even struck by how intimately acquainted with that sort of philosophy, the berserkers.
Yeah, they probably teach me some things that I didn't even know.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Every bone, every, like, everything.
They've lived
is
for
used.
400 yep. years on the fringes of society.
Yeah.
Just surviving.
Y'all know your way around a pig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, too, the way I see it is, like, it's Winnie's kill. So it's, like, made a point Winnie eats first.
Absolutely.
As I raise the first... Once it's distributed, I'll raise the first one and just say, Otakin.
Oh, Takin.
Oh, Takin.
Oh, Takin.
And I'll make sure that at the end, a couple of little pin bones are saved for needles and hairpins.
Great, perfect. Great.
We cut to Drogar, and he's like over a big flame, and he's like, this is going to be the best stock yet.
Drogar's making pho.
Olaf, I need the parsley now. Go. To the tree line.
You see Olaf like getting
coming
ready
back
to roll
with poison
in the bed
ivy.
Like,
with poison ivy. You mean this?
Yes.
Anything but that.
Yeah.
Can someone take care of that dragon?
Yeah. And then just like
I need some sleep.
The last of the bones, like sapped of all their flavor and all of the nutrients, just get buried in the mound.
Yeah. I think, yeah, everyone joins in, and I think maybe at a certain point, Dimitri pipes up a little bit. And I think there are these moments where Dimitri is stunned by generosity and by kindness and by, I don't know, just that people can live their life this way in Barovia. Yeah, and he just kind of looks up from his little portion and he says, I think this is the best outcome for violence I have ever seen.
It's not violence, Dimitri. When you are fighting alongside an ally who gives their life to save yours, that's what this creature has done.
Death is a boon for love, not an ending. My mother is wiser than I ever could have thought. And as are you, Gesli Othro.
I'm failing to make the connection, but I'll take your word for it.
If it took you this long to decide that your mother was the wiser.
Oh, no, I knew. I know.
You know, Dimitri, from where I come from, there are many civilizations and many types of people. And from what I have understood, from stardust we come and from stardust we shall remain. If that makes any sense to you.
Well, I've never seen a star, but I take your meaning.
But you shall soon. And from what you see here, from these creatures that you see, and from what you've heard from your mother and your father of the earlier times, the berserkers, the people of Kresk, they lived off this land, but they honored this land.
My mother talked about this Zenobia.
Yes.
She is something unto herself. This land is alive, and it suffers the abuses of the devil, perhaps more so than we do even. I think she can be counted as our ally in this fight.
She has the longest memory.
Certainly.
It's a very good Winnie.
If she weren't our ally, she wouldn't have given us this boar.
Only too true.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Kaz.
Only too true.
It is through Zenobia that we have survived thus long. She has given us all the tools and all the things that we need.
She is in chains just as we are.
Yes.
And she is ready for them to be cast off.
I think it's about time we break the chains off of Zenobia.
Set her free, and then too shall we all be free.
This is bigger than all of us.
And yet requires all of us.
Well, Kaz, Winnie, Olaf, where do we send our arrow next?
An excellent question. I had much the same thinking myself, says Zarya as she comes over.
Oh, hello, Zarya.
Oh, hi.
Kaz, act normal.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Very good. Zarya!
Well done with the boar, by the way. I think everyone is dapper pleased.
Dapper pleased.
Well, we have young Winslet to thank for it.
Aye, indeed. Big things do come in small packages, after all.
Kaz taught me how to ride the bees.
I wager our quiet, unassuming Kazli Othro has much to teach to all of us.
Maybe this whole leadership thing suits me more than I know.
To that end, what do you intend to do next? And how may your people be of service?
Well, we do have one more gem.
Yeah, it's with Babalazaga.
Berez, you intend to go?
Yeah.
Zarya, what can you tell us of Berez?
After our own great ownership of this land, Berez was the mightiest city within the valley. Those that came after us and settled the lowlands made many cities, some still last this day, Blackie, Kresk, and so on. Berez was the mightiest of them all.
Was it the first?
That I cannot say, but the greatest. Too true.
To be sure. And it lies in ruins now.
Destroyed when the land itself cut loose from the slopes of Mount Gakis.
Oh.
And buried it whole.
Oh, no.
Shit.
It lies not but ruins now. It's denizens, not but mud and ghosts.
We heard something about scarecrows?
Ah, Dimitri pipes up. Yes, the servants of Babalusaga. Never has she been an ally to my family. In fact, other than the devil himself, perhaps our most dreaded foe.
So she's separate from the devil?
She has her connections. She serves him. The same as any manner of devil you have fought. Perhaps even more dangerous than the last.
Zarya, is there reason to believe that perhaps there are answers to what happened with Perez on Mount Gokus?
I can't say. It was destroyed some... Sorry, math. Because I've mapped this all out. Hang on, sorry.
Yeah, take your time. Take your time, please.
It was 20 years before Death House. Death House was some 30 years ago.
30 years ago is when Perez was destroyed?
Aye, indeed.
That's really soon.
It seems recent.
Time has a funny way of flowing in the valley.
Oh, yes.
Was Babalazaga, she was like one of Strahd's moms, though, right?
As the legend goes, Strahd von Zarovich had two mothers. One gave her life to bring him to the world. The other gave her life to make him powerful.
So is she very, very magical?
Aye. She has the deep wisdom, both of the land and the spirit. She is not a foe to be tempered with lightly. And that land itself is angry. Haunted by revenants, ghosts, and those who would have their revenge on an uncruel fate.
I think perhaps we should travel to Mount Gokus. And the reason I say this is because perhaps there are clues or things that we can look at that will give us information as to the downfall of Perez. And perhaps it would give us insight and ways to bargain or deal with Babalazaga.
I take your point. Gakus has long been abandoned, I believe. Its slopes now lie barren and empty, with naught but the echoes of what once came. If you want answers to Perez, it's in Perez you'll find them.
So it's like a landslide or something?
So this tale goes, buried alive.
Oh no.
The city and its people all.
Does it seem like somebody did that on purpose?
Well, the land does nothing idly. I cannot, beyond that, I cannot see.
Mm-hmm. Meta question.
Yeah.
Mount Gokus is where we just came from.
Halfway up it.
Halfway up it. Okay.
That tower was on Mount Gokus.
Yes. That ramshackle.
What was the gem?
Where you fought Strahd, that was on the slope of Mount Gokus.
What was the gem that we threw in, and what was the...
The violet gem.
And what was the slogan?
The
mountain spire. Violet to the mountain spire.
I'm wondering if there's... I might be fucking chasing empty threads.
Well,
but
chase them as much as you want. I think Kaz, to Zarya, who may know, because she lives within view of said spire or said, you know, wherever. Yeah, I think Kaz we could see Yesterhill from where we wound, from where we landed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could probably see it from where we are now.
Yeah, you can. The peak of the mountain sort of disappears into the fog as you gaze.
But the spire
past
is still
it.
There.
But yeah, you can kind of look up and, like, maybe not right now with the rain coming down, but on a as clear as it gets in Barovi, you might even be able to sort of glimpse.
I think Kaz's survival instincts and her sense of direction are good enough that she could point in the general direction of where it is and say to Zarya,
when we escaped from Strahd's dungeons, that's where we landed.
Mm.
The mountain spire.
What can you tell us about that place?
It must have been important to him.
There is something in those mountains. Deeper, darker, older than Strahd himself. We saw as much when we visited his memory. Whatever dwells up there, at the peak of that mountain, it is perhaps older and more deadly than the devil himself.
Well, that answers our question. That is where the temple is, at the top of Mount Gaucus.
Is there somewhere that we could find out more about that?
The most I have learned has been from the abbey. Esmeralda has combed it for years. There are no records left, far as any of us can tell. I think if you want to learn more of the temple, it is to the mountain we must climb. If you want to learn more of Beres, it is the swamps we must navigate.
I have one last question, Dimitri.
Yes?
There once was an old dragon that lived in this valley.
Argenvost.
Where did he reside?
He had a keep, the last bastion against Strahd's armies, when he was human and entered the valley. I can show you to it.
I would very much like to go there.
We have, it seems then, three destinations set before us. The ruins of Beres, Argenvost Holt, and whatever lies for us at the peak of Mount Gaucus.
Well, I've lived 528 years. I can wait a little bit longer for my answers to be answered.
I think your answers might give us a lot of information that will be useful. And it might, this is just my gut feeling, but I feel like maybe it won't be as dangerous. So maybe Argenvost Holt first, then Beres, then the mountain.
I was going to say Beres first and then Argenvost Holt as a treat.
I think mountain last.
Definitely mountain last.
I have a strong feeling in my heart that, and Olaf, correct me if I'm wrong, from one dragon to another, I have a very good feeling about Argenvost Holt.
We should go then.
And I think that there is magic there that may help the whole valley, for he once defended the valley.
It has to mean something, that he was a big old dragon and you're a big old dragon.
Well, Winnie, I am but a dragonborn. Dragons live for millennia. If he was here and he deemed his life expendable for the people of this valley, then he was truly a bastion of good, as you and I are. I cannot fathom the choice he must have made in that moment after the life he lived to expend himself to help the people in Markovia's rebellion.
Then we move to the keep next.
My bow is yours. You just point me in the direction you want to go.
It's good to hear that again, Olaf.
Then we're back on the trail.
To the keep.
To Argenvost Holt. And we'll call it there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I smell that new arc smell.
Yeah. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Stradcast features Campbell O'Hare as Winnie, Kay Divine Jones as Kaz, Ned Iannacone as Drogar, Tyler Cantor as Olaf, and me, Trevor William Fail, as your DM.
With this many patrons, I'll be the most powerful warlock in all the lands!
Special shout out to our newest patrons, folks like Amy, Eric Ritzel, Lilith, Hallie Ferguson, and Bryony. Welcome to the party. If you're not ready to support us financially, there are still plenty of ways to help us out. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at CriticalFailDM, Binge Madness and Mercy on our YouTube channel, and join us there every other Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time when we do live listens of new episodes of the Stradcast. Or rate and leave us a review wherever you like to listen. Thanks, Dungeoneers, and take your day with advantage.
My name is Nick Perrin, and I'm an actor, writer, and game master. And on Tabletopped, I talk with an expert game master every week to find out the best ways to run amazing games and tell epic stories. Looking to start DMing? Or maybe you've been a game master for a long time and want to spice up your table? Then this podcast is for you. Tabletopped is released on Mondays wherever you get your podcasts.